Let's talk about this cayenne pepper situation, first of all. I know you've been looking into studies on this. There aren't many, are there?
No, but I've been hearing about, and it seems to be the same two or three instances. Now, of course, cayenne is important for all kind of things besides the heart, but these pertain to the heart. Now, cayenne is also known as Tabasco, found in chili peppers and even paprika. But don't ever get it in your eyes, George, because it really does burn. It is potent.
That's right.
And if anybody is allergic to any of the peppers, then they shouldn't even indulge in it. But in regard to the heart, trying to find clinical studies that could support some of these claims of people saying that someone had a heart attack and or were pronounced dead and were given a tea of cayenne, and suddenly we're revived. I wouldn't want people to think that calling 911 or beginning CPR would be more important than that. I don't want anybody to be misled by that. But at the same time, giving it the benefit of the doubt, we know it is an anti-inflammatory, as is turmeric, and it is a promoter of circulation. It inhibits I think it's substance P, which is an inflammatory marker. It dissolves fibrin, and that is a major factor. Fibrin is known as a major contributor to blood clots. As a matter of fact, in my first book, I talked about the fact that cayenne can be taken to keep small fibrous clots from forming on the mitral and the aortic valve leaflets, because once they form, George, they can break loose at any time and manifest in a heart attack.
Okay. Now, the email that I got, Christian, that I think we forwarded to you, talked on one case of an individual who had a heart attack. They gave him this cayenne drink, and he got up and wanted to walk home from the hospital.
That's what the article says.
I mean, that's weird.
Right. But, you know, we need to hear more of those stories because anyone can have something like that happen, or it couldn't be a placebo effect, or somebody can manufacture a story. So when it comes to health and advising people or even suggesting, you want to have as much clinical support as you can have.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about clotting
and
its dangers. You know, we have a mission here. You do and I do, and that is to save at least one person. And if we can, that makes everything worth it, as far as I'm concerned.
It really does.
And you know, since you've been on this program, you've helped a lot of people who listen to this show who've had some serious health problems. Christian, I don't want to lose any listeners that way.
No, we don't want to lose each other either.
That's right. So
let's talk about clots. What is it ultimately that causes a heart attack? It's a clot. What is it that causes the stroke? A clot. And yet, medical science doesn't spend, in my opinion, my humble opinion, they don't spend nearly enough time in investigating the clotting factors that you and I and people listening tonight might have until you've had the heart attack, until you've had the stroke. Then they say, you know something? Your fibrinogen was through the roof, or you had very high homocysteine. Well, why didn't we find that out last year when we did our physical? Because, you know, I talk about 80% of the blood tests that we should be getting, we don't get. And that's the reason you need to become informed so you can intelligently ask your physician. Now, you and I have gone through, there's 135 topics of prevention in hidden causes. We haven't covered all of them, but I want to be careful not to repeat what we've talked about previously. So in regard to these clotting factors, any one of them can take you out, can cause the crises. Isn't that amazing?
Sure is.
Something, George, as microscopic as that little blood clot can ruin a family's happiness.
Cause stroke, anything.
And you and I are determined to not let that happen if we have anything to do about it, in even a small way.
What do you recommend?
Well, I certainly recommend a homocysteine test.
That's a simple blood test.
Simple blood test when you have your physical. And what they said was normal was 15. For the past 5 years, I've been writing press releases saying it's far too lenient and that guideline has to be changed. It's now changed, and a lot of the reference scales talk about 10. Not because of me. You know, I mean, I just had a little something to say about it. But maybe just in general, the word got out, and they now look to have 10 at the top of the scale. And there's certain things, you know, George, so many of us take niacin.
And explain what homocysteine is.
Homocysteine is a sulfur-containing amino acid. When it's in your system in any elevation, it increases the chance of clotting and stroke. Many of the Alzheimer advanced patients they found had very high levels of homocysteine. It's involved as a toxic substance in your blood, and it attacks the walls of the arteries as well. And it's simple enough to take care of, but everybody who's drinking more than 2.5 cups of caffeinated coffee has a tendency to raise their homocysteine.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who takes niacin, as wonderful as niacin is raising the homocysteine as much as 50%. If you're taking, so what you're doing is you're lowering your LDL cholesterol, raising your HDL, but at the same time, what you may be doing to the toxicity in your arteries may be more damaging than what it was before.
All right, now, can you take the niacin to keep your cholesterol down and at the same time take some of these other supplements you're going to mention to keep your homocysteine level down?
You are right on, George. Yes, you can. You may have to take, depending on the individual, but unless you get yourself tested, and a lot of people will ask their doctor, now that you have me on fenofibrate or gemfibrozil, I'm told that that raises my homocysteine 40 to 50%. Could you test me again?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times the doc says, well, we tested you a year ago. Yeah, but you didn't tell, doc, since then you put me on niacin or niaspan, and we need to check it again. And then you find out it's gone through the roof. So to answer that question specifically, you take B6, B12, and folic acid. Now, 400 micrograms may not be enough folic acid. You may have to have 800.
800, yeah.
And if you still are not getting it down, you need to try trimethylglycine and add that. And I've seen it
And that shows up as TMG, is it?
That's right, okay. TMG. And stay on top of that. And then there's, of course, fibrinogen, which got me started in this whole thing in 1995. When I asked the physician at the end of a physical, would you give me a fibrinogen blood test? He said, I've never ordered one, but if you want it, I'll do it for you. And he called me a week later, and he said, I don't know what this means, Chris. He said, but you're off the top of the scale here. I said, you're 461.
Wow.
So I start checking and find out that I saw it in Arterial Sclerosis and Vascular Biology, one of the leading medical journals, particularly for cardiovascular. And it said if you were even in the 300 range, you were at an 85% heart attack risk range. So there wasn't anything that could help that. And so I was either going to be the victim or I was going to have to be an advocate. So I started looking how, and it took a long time, to try different combinations to bring it down. Turmeric, believe it or not, well, you know that. Turmeric was very helpful in a certain amount of vitamin C and a certain amount of fish oil every day, quite a bit as a matter of fact, and a few other factors, devil's claw, lowered it. Well, at one time I got it down so low that we had to raise it.